This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. This morning, I'm reflecting on the events of this week 2,000 years ago and using conversation, music and a tragically true story, I want to discover why this week is called holy and why its message, which is central to the Christian faith, still speaks powerfully to our modern world. But first, music especially for this first day of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Ride on in majesty. This is Palm Sunday, the start of a week that the Christian Church calls holy, and it ends with Easter Day, the most significant moment in history for Christians. This is when we remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was tortured and then executed by being nailed to a cross and left hanging till he died. His death was brutal, but he was innocent of any crime. He'd been betrayed by one of his followers and convicted on trumped-up charges. Yet, as he was dying, Jesus publicly forgave his killers. Then, 3 days after his dead body had been taken down from the cross and sealed in a tomb, he came back to life. And over the following 6 weeks, he appeared to hundreds of people. And 2,000 years later, his followers continue to tell the story. A story that begins with palm branches, a donkey, and cheering crowds.
Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, thy trials shall be thee, O captive death and conquered sin.
Ride on in majesty. So begins Palm Sunday. After 3 years of teaching and healing, Jesus had built a big following. He rode into Jerusalem on a young donkey and was hailed as the Messiah who'd come to overthrow the Roman occupiers and re-establish a Jewish kingdom. Jerusalem was crowded with Jewish people arriving to celebrate Passover, commemorating their escape from slavery in Egypt nearly 1,500 years earlier. By the middle of the week, the Jewish religious leaders and elders were so angry with Jesus and so fearful of his power and popularity with the people that they began plotting to kill him. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas, went to the chief priests and agreed to betray him to them. But this story, the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man, living, dying and rising again, what does it say to us today? Joining me now is the Right Reverend Mark Davis, Bishop of Middleton in Manchester, who is also our Commissary Bishop, taking care of the Anglican Church on the island until the appointment of a permanent Bishop of Soda and Man. Bishop Mark, what would you ask us to think about at the start of this Holy Week?
These coming days are transformative, days that will so richly bless us if we open our hearts to receive the blessing that I know these days can offer to each of us and to the whole church. They are such beautiful days that take us to the very heart of our faith and renew the life of Christ within us as we come to the beauty and the glory of Easter. The events of that first Holy Week speak so powerfully to our hearts today, because here we have Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he comes as our humble King, riding on a donkey. He shows us the path of humility. He shows us the way of service and of loving service that lays down his very life for us. It is a triumphal entry, but of our servant King.
So let us learn how to serve.
Jesus and the 12 disciples gathered on the Thursday evening to celebrate the Passover meal. During the evening, Jesus broke bread and shared it and a cup of wine with his disciples and commanded them to continue to do the same in memory of his death. During the meal, Judas slipped away to be ready to lead the soldiers to the olive grove where Jesus went to pray after the meal. He knew what lay ahead. He knew he was going to die. He also knew he could run into the desert and never be found, but instead, Jesus chose the way of obedience. Minutes later, Judas arrived with the soldiers and the chief priests, and Jesus was arrested.
This is my body, broken for you. Bring in your wholeness, making you free. Take it and
you will be coming back to the island on Thursday, Maundy. Indeed. Thursday. There will be a service. Just explain to us a little bit about that Maundy Thursday service.
Yes. So on Maundy Thursday, we have traditionally something called the Chrism Eucharist. And the Chrism is one of the three oils that will be blessed during that service. And listeners may remember that part of the coronation of King Charles and Queen Camilla last May involves the Archbishop of Canterbury anointing their majesties with the oil of chrism. And that's one of the three oils that will be blessed this Maundy Thursday as we gather for the Chrism Eucharist. The other is the oil that people are signed with the cross ahead of their baptism. And the other oil is a beautiful oil that we use in prayer for the sick. The church's wonderful ministry of care for the sick. So those three oils are blessed at the heart of the service. And also during that Eucharist, the clergy and our licensed lay ministers also have an opportunity to renew their commitments to service. So their ordination promises, when they were licensed, for those that are readers, they made promises. We'll renew that commitment to service and our longing to continue to respond to the call of God on our lives. And a beautiful way for the clergy to gather together as sisters and brothers around the bishop, for us to be together. So there'll be a lovely opportunity for us to worship, obviously, but then there'll be an opportunity for fellowship afterwards. And then from that, we're sent back into the communities that we're there to serve. We're a servant community. And that prepares us then for what the church calls traditionally, it's a rather strange word, the Triduum, the great 3 days that begin with sunset on Maundy Thursday and carry us all the way through to Easter Day. It's really one big service. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday and Easter Day. Those take us to the very heart of our Christian faith. And the Chrism Eucharist, in a sense, prepares us for all that those days will bring to us.
After a mockery of a trial on baseless charges, Pontius Pilate, who really wanted to release Jesus, weakly bowed to public pressure and handed him over to be tortured and crucified. Jesus was mocked, crowned with thorns, stripped and made to carry his cross to the place of execution. The crucifixion of Jesus took place on the Friday, remembered in the Christian calendar as Good Friday. Church services at or around 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Good Friday will give us a chance to reflect on the moment of Jesus' death. But outside our churches, it seems that more people are joining in walks of witness.
I think I've seen more and more over the years. So public walks of witness, people walking often with a cross and ecumenically, which rejoices my heart no end, that actually sisters and brothers of all the churches coming together, gathered at the foot of the cross and witnessing in the community to that redeeming love that is shown on the cross, with Jesus with his arms stretched wide, proclaiming to the whole of creation the depth of his love for us, that reconciles the whole of creation by his death on the cross for us. It's beautiful when we can gather in our churches for the various liturgies of Good Friday, but also to go out, to be visible witnesses of that love, and to stand around the foot of the cross.
See from his head, his head.
I think when we look at the crucifix, see what love he has for us. Wherever we are, wherever I am in those dark moments, and we all have them, wherever I'm struggling, wherever you're struggling, wherever the others are struggling, I know that he's there. He is there. He knows. Not at a distance, but he knows.
Your body and your mind aren't here. You can't think straight. You're floating on air because you it's not happening to you. It happens to other people, but not to you. And you just can't coordinate your things. You're numb. You're numb to things that are happening around you. You just don't believe that it's happened. And the hurt is unbelievable. I was working in Italy at the time. It was August. My family rang the firm where I worked up and they got in touch with my boss who was out with us in Italy. And he told me, he came around the corner and with a bottle of whiskey and said, sit down. So I says, why, what's wrong? He says, Robert's been knocked down. They was on holiday because they'd broke up for the summer holidays. And he'd gone across the main road using the Pelican Crossing to call for his friend. His friend wasn't in, so he turned round, was coming back home, got to the Pelican Crossing, pressed the button, the lights changed to red for the cars, the green man started beeping, he set off and the woman didn't stop at the lights and knocked him down. They got me a flight back, but it was the next morning, and it seemed a lifetime waiting for the next day before I could set off home. I just felt as if I was on another planet. And I got on the plane, got to Manchester, and the police was waiting for me to take me to LGI in Leeds. And I got in the car and was coming over the M62, and I says, if anything happens to our Robert, I'll kill that woman. When I got back to LGI, my wife came to meet me and she says, it doesn't look good. The doctors came to see us and said that he was brain dead, that if he survived, he'd just be a cabbage. And we talked about him and we said, well, he wouldn't want that because he wasn't that sort of person. He was lively, bouncy, energetic. He talked about turning the machine off that kept him alive. So we decided that they would switch the ventilator off at 6 o'clock. What do you think Jesus looks like?
Like my daddy with brown hair, but not the glasses, and a longer beard, perhaps. Maybe he's like us. Do you know, like, when we're not in trouble? Maybe like that. Maybe when we're not in trouble all the time.
They turned the ventilator off at 6 o'clock. And we were there when he died. And that was, I think that was the hardest thing I had to do in my life. So I prayed that night that Jesus would help me to forgive the woman that killed him.
Did you know my name?
Jesus saved me from doing something to that woman that I totally regret, that it would have wrecked my family as well. I never thought about the funeral, but Denise said that I would like Robert to be buried, and he was buried at church at Eden. I didn't know this, but people were praying for us at church, and we started going to church then because Robert was buried there, and we took flowers up every Sunday. And then I got into a Bible study, but my wife wouldn't go because she blamed God. She blamed God for taking our son. And we were still praying for Denise, and one Sunday, she came to know him, and she could forgive that woman. It was very, very hard, but Jesus helped us through this situation. So what happened to Jesus on that first Good Friday?
Oh, really sad, really painful. They whipped him, they nailed him, and then he died.
Why did Jesus have to die?
To clean away all our bad sins. He died for us. So what you have to do is you have to think of other people, not yourself.
Afterwards, I didn't really blame the woman, because when I got my senses together, you realise that, well, it could be me. It could be me going through a red light. We all drive, we all make mistakes. And I just felt sorry for her that she has got to live with this for the rest of her life.
The crucifix to me proclaims that victory of love, healing love. It's a God in Christ who comes into the deepest, deepest darkness. And from that leads us forth into resurrection life and hope.
Holy Saturday, the day after Good Friday, Christ in the tomb, Everything's suspended, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's also a day that, for some of us, isn't always terribly comfortable, because it's about something that certainly I and others aren't always good at, and that's waiting. And it's a day of waiting, a day of profound stillness, a day where we recollect ourselves that Christ, in the traditional sense, known to be harrowing hell, going into the very deepest, darkest place. And some of the beautiful icons from the Eastern Church show the image of Jesus going into hell and holding Adam and Eve, our first parents, by their hand and leading them out from death and darkness to resurrection life. So that sense of Christ working as we wait, as his body lay in the tomb, and we wait and we wait. And we wait. And sometimes, for folk around the world, there's a lot of waiting. A lot of waiting in a dark place, a painful place, longing for that glimmer of life that we know Christ brings, that Christ alone can offer. And so that waiting is a vitally important time for me.
All of this changes when we get to Saturday night.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to talk about that this morning. We're going to look forward to welcoming you back on the day itself.
And I shall look forward to that very much indeed, Judith.
And the Right Reverend Mark Davis, the bishop appointed to take care of the Diocese of Soder and Man until a permanent appointment is made, will indeed be joining me again on the programme next week as we celebrate the great Feast of Easter. But now it's notice board time, and we begin with services and events taking place today. Port Erin Gospel Church, next to the Catholic Church in Port Erin, invite you to meetings today at 11:30 and tonight at 6:00, when the preacher will be Mr. Sam Houston from Northern Ireland. Sam, an ex-pub singer, is now a gospel singer and will be bringing God's precious word together with a mix of gospel songs. Everyone will be made very welcome. The Mariners Choir will be in Glenmay Methodist Chapel tonight at 6:30 for a service led by Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett, with soloist Kay Harker, and as usual, it'll be followed by supper and community hymn singing. Meadowside Choral Society offer you two chances to hear a beautiful work that's perfect for this Holy Week. It's Stainer's Crucifixion, and they will be performing it tonight in Mount Tabor. That's Port St Mary Methodist Church, starting at 6:30, and repeating it on Good Friday, the 29th, in Arbury Parish Church, again starting at 6:30. The conductor and musical director is Julian Power, the organist Gareth Moore, and the soloists Ian Fox and Jeff Collier. There's no admission charge, just a warm welcome for everyone. Moving on to Monday, the 25th, the Cathedral Choir Lay Clerks are presenting Thomas Tallis's Lamentations in St Patrick's Roman Catholic Church in Peel. The concert starts at 7:30 and admission is free. Also tomorrow night, Laxey Handbells will be in St Bridget's Church, the parish church in Bride, to present an hour of music for Holy Week. It starts at 6:30 and there'll be light refreshments to follow. Admission is free, but donations to a retiring collection for the work of the parish would be much appreciated. On Tuesday the 26th, there's an Easter coffee morning at Sandygate Methodist Chapel on St Jude's Road, raising funds for a defibrillator to be placed on the wall outside the chapel. It's open from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, serving coffee, tea and cakes, and there's a raffle too, with all proceeds to Craig's Heartstrong Foundation. And also in Sandygate Chapel, there'll be a service at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon, led by Reverend Rod Ingerell. On now to Tuesday evening, and there's an evening of music with Gareth Moore and friends, followed by a buffet supper, this Tuesday, the 26th, in Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount, here in Douglas. It starts at 7:30. Admission is £10, including supper, and you can pay at the door. This is raising funds for the Methodist missions. This Thursday, it's the last Lent lunch at the Cool Methodist Chapel Hall on Cool Road in Braddon. Open from noon till 2 o'clock and costing £7. And already I'm hearing amazing news about amounts of money raised through your extraordinarily generous support for these lunches. £1,600 has been raised for our hospice and over £2,600 for the charity Without Wings, the Manx Autoimmune Arthritis Trust. And that's just two that I know about, so thank you to everyone for your great generosity. This Thursday, Maundy Thursday, there'll be a Gethsemane vigil at Dorby Schoolrooms from 7 until 10 p.m. Round the fire in Dorby Schoolrooms, with times for silence, reflective music and reading the story. There'll be light refreshments available throughout the evening. Everyone will be made very welcome. And then on Easter Sunday morning, you're invited to the Dorby Dawn Vigil. Witness the Easter morning sunrise at Cronknieri Lay. Meet at 6:20 a.m. at the car park on the bend at the top of the Slock Road to walk up to the top of Cronknieri Lay for sunrise at 6:52. Please bring breakfast, hot drinks and wrap up well, as it's always very cold up there. Everyone is welcome, including dogs on leads. Incidentally, the other two sunrise services I know about are in Douglas on the beach at the bottom of Broadway. Meet there at 6:40 a.m. with bacon baps and hot drinks in St Thomas's Church, just off the promenade by the Gaiety Theatre, after the service. And in Ramsey, the sunrise service is at 6:45 a.m. on Easter Sunday morning outside the Lifeboat House on the Queen's Promenade in Ramsey. And as you might imagine, there are services all around the island on Thursday, on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. I will be mentioning some more of them on our sundown notice boards tonight from 9 o'clock. But I would encourage you to look for posters on display in your area or search for the name of your local church or chapel on social media and you'll find all the details there. But I'm afraid that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back later in our virtual lounge tonight from 9 o'clock onwards with our usual mix of easy listening music, your requests and your dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and I wish you and those you love a truly blessed and holy week and a very good morning.